Starting chapter 42, which can be found on page 217, 218, and the first line basically sums up the last chapter, so we'll jump right into it. In chapter 41, we talked about this concept of the lower level of fear. At least a person should have a lower level of fear. There's a higher level of fear, a lower level of fear, a higher level of love, a lower level of love. And at least the person should have, and express at the beginning of their service to Hashem, should have the lower level of fear. So, as you said at the beginning of the chapter, that everybody has this has to work on this lower level of fear. So the Gemara now asks a question. There's a statement, and now, Jews, all you have to do is fear Hashem. All that God asks from you is that you fear Him.
That's it, just
so
that's all.
Usually when we say all or just, the Gemara asks a question.
Yeah.
Is fear such a small thing that you're saying all you got to do is fear God?
That's it.
A person who truly fears God never does anything wrong and is constantly doing everything right.
What's the story of Zusha?
Yeah, okay. So this is the... there aren't too many people like that walking around.
Yeah.
Then the Gemara says, so now, the Gemara answers, in legabi maishra milsa zitrasihi. The Gemara says, yes, to Moshe, fear is a small thing. That's the given statement. The Gemara asks, there's a question, there's a statement which is brought up by a pasuk, all you have to do is fear Hashem. Yeah. The Gemara asks a question, is fear such a small thing that you say all you got to do is fear Hashem? And it says, yes, to Moshe. So now the obvious question comes up, the Alter Rebbe asks, L'chare ena muvan atirat shehu sholmi imcha k'siv. It's not understood because it says in the verse, all that's asked of you is to fear God. Yeah. Not all that's asked of Moshe is to fear God. So the question then is, how does the answer the question?
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're avoiding or escaping the answering the question. If it's in the Gemara, it is for sure answering the question. The Alter Rebbe wants to know how.
Okay.
Ela inyan hu, we can explain as follows. Ki kol nefesh menefesh mebeis yisrael. Each and every single Jew.
Yeah.
Regardless of whom, that's why he says kol nefesh venefesh. Could be from the highest levels of soul like a Moshe Rabbeinu. Could be from somebody who he refers to in chapter 2 as from the heel of the lowest of the lowest souls over there.
The flea on the dog.
Every one of them has in it Yesh ba Mechinas Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody's got their own little Moshe. This is actually a recurring theme that occurs in the Bible. That if there is a person mentioned in the Bible, or a nation which is specified, it is allegorous for some sort of character trait or something within us, some sort of representation of ourselves, of our persona. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them, from Adam all the way to the end to Zachariah.
Huh.
Whoever else is mentioned last over there. Every single one of them somehow is a character trait, something having to do with us. So, you know, the Rebbe was very big on this. You know, for example, about a Malach, that the Malach is doubt and coldness. And Midian is seen as chinam. These are all the sichos that were from the 60s. Unwarranted hatred. And then there's the parallel between Yaakov and Esav, that Yaakov is analogous of the good within us, or Yetzer Tov, and Esav is analogous of the Yetzer Hara. All of these are all right there. These are all up right front.
Sure.
So he says over here, everybody's got a Moshe too. Okay, and in fact, he's probably going to say that Moshe, the Moshe in us, is probably the most important part of our persona. Because who is Moshe? I suppose you could argue, depends if you're sitting at a Hasidic Shafabrangin and how much Mashke has been consumed, as to who is the greatest person who's ever lived in the millennia.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have these debates, you know. and I've actually participated. Is the Lubavitcher Rebbe greater than the Moshe Rabbeinu? Okay, so good. You know, so this is not for now. This is for at a time of Fabringen after adult beverages have been consumed.
In large quantities.
Yes. You want to say something, Joel?
No.
Okay.
Just smiling and nodding.
Yes, because everybody has this. Now, what is that? So who was Moshe? Ki hu meshiva royim. Moshe was one of the seven shepherds, Hamam Shichim Chayes Ve'elokus L'Klalis Neshamas Yisrael, whose job it was to draw down godliness to the general community of the Jewish people. Mm. We call the seven shepherds. Shalachi Nikra B'Shem Rayim, Moshe Rabbeinu Hu Klalis Kulam Nikra Rayim Ehemna. All of them are called shepherds. Mm. Like Avram Avinu, for example, is called a shepherd because he was the one who instilled and got this whole concept of monotheism to be going to begin with. Okay. And Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Raya Mehemna. Mm-hmm. He's called the faithful shepherd. There's a part in the Zohar which is called the Raya Mehemna, which happened to have been written by Moshe. Who called it Raya Mehemna? I'm not sure. I don't know enough about it. If it was called Raya Mehemna by Moshe or Shimon Bar Yochai, because it was written by Moshe, called it the Raya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd.
Oh, really?
Now, faithful shepherd has two possible meanings. If the word faithful is an adjective, so then what does it mean? You got this shepherd person, and he's very trustworthy in his fulfilling his obligations. That's what it means, a faithful shepherd. But if the word mehemna is a noun, so what does it become then? It now becomes a direct object. What is Moshe then? Moshe is a shepherd of faith. What is his job? Shepherding, not sheep. He's shepherding faith.
Uh-huh.
Okay? What do shepherds do? They take care. They corral. Mm-hmm. They move. They nurture. Maintain.
Nurture, grow.
Nurture, exactly. Grow. That's what shepherds do. That's how he's translating it over here. He's translating it the second way. Mm-hmm. The shepherd of faith. That means to say that he was able to draw down knowledge to every single Jew. Everyone according to the knowledge of Hashem Echad, each one according to their intellectual capabilities and the source of their soul above. Okay, they got a bunch of things over here. Because it sounds very peculiar. He's called Raya Mehemna. He's a shepherd of faith. And what does he do? He instills Das. So why don't we call him Raya Hamada? Mm. The knowledgeable shepherd then. Why are you calling him Raya Mehemna? Mm-hmm. Das and Emuna, knowledge and belief, are antithetical one to the other. What you know, you don't believe. If you can't know it for sure, then you believe it.
Right.
If you know more, you believe less.
Right.
So what is this that he's talking about? We're calling him Raya Mehemna. And still he's saying that what was his job is Das. Okay, the story, the answer to the question is answered, at least allegorically, with a story that happened with the Alter Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek. Mm. At some time, early on, the Tzemach Tzedek was, I think, first married, and the Alter Rebbe said, I can give you a present of Das. I'll give you this present. You'll be able to know about Torah. And the Tzemach Tzedek said, I don't want it, because I'd rather accomplish it by myself. Okay, so Alter Rebbe said, fine, good. Later on, the Tzemach Tzedek regretted it, because he said, I could have taken the present
and used it,
and still worked on the same effort, but it would have been much easier, I would have been able to achieve much greater.
Right.
Okay, because what happens is if a person, you have people who never think. Okay, a person who doesn't think, it's easy for them to believe. Okay, because what are they doing? And since they're not thinking, so someone tells them something and they didn't think about it, okay, good, no, I believe it. Okay, that is not Jewish.
Oh, oops.
absolutely 100% not. If there's one thing that Jews are not, is followers of folds.
God's not confused by my questions?
No.
Good.
I think I get handled. So, the on the contrary, there is very, very little dogma in Judaism. Because our emunah is based on das, is based on knowledge.
That's absolutely correct.
So what is Moshe doing? Moshe is giving us a platform.
To reach for.
He's giving it, to start from.
Go from.
He's giving us this platform of knowledge. Knowledge means I feel it. When you say I know, it's like we said this before, 2 and 2 is 4. Yeah. You don't believe it, you know it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in the world that I can say. Yeah. You have to go back and look in chapter 2. I don't think it was, chapter 3, which might be up on the, I don't remember which ones are not on the website. But chapter 3 talks about Das at the end of there. And we give the example, we go through the 2 and 2 is 4, so go look over there. What you know is concrete. You feel a connection to it. It's part of you.
Yeah, that's right.
And your belief comes, spins off of that. It's extrapolated from that.
Sure.
Like, for example, you have Rambam's...
Without some knowledge, there's not what to believe in.
Correct. Unless you're really stupid.
We've got some of those.
Okay. I would like to say not. And I suppose that's
not
my
not
job.
Not in Judaism. I didn't say in
okay,
Judaism.
Okay, fine.
I didn't say in Judaism.
Okay. So now, because you have, for example, I don't know if we ever talked about it. My Rambam has what's called the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Mm-hmm. We ever talk about the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the 13 principles of faith?
Mm, sure.
We have?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yep.
We have.
Yep,
so somewhere on one of these tapes over there.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's something about
it. It's Negea. Go ahead.
The Yud Gimel Ikrim. So... what's the deal? The very first premise that Rambam puts down is that there's something called a God.
Right.
What is he called God? God is called the Matzei Rishon, the first cause. The
first cause, that's right.
Okay? And God always was. And number 4 is God always was, God always will be.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like, if it's first, so that means it always was.
Sure.
And if it always was, if it never started, it can't stop.
Right.
Okay, I remember talking about this now, yes.
Yeah.
Okay? So the... So based on that... given this very basis that there has to be something first, if there's a creation and we are here, it must be that we came from some place. There's a first cause. That first cause is above time. And if that first cause is above time, then it's also above spatiality, which is another one of the third one over there that the Rambam says that the Hashem has no body.
Right.
No dimensions. No image of a body, no form of a body.
Right. No dimensions.
Okay. There's one simple entity is what we this thing that we call God.
Right.
And that this God is totally and completely unified since it takes up all the space in the universe, plus...
what's to be disunified.
So there's everything is totally part and parcel.
Right, of course.
So given this basis, this is the basis of our beginning of what we believe.
This is where we start.
Where does that extend to? It extends to, for example, Hashgacha Pratis.
Sure.
And he talks about this. This is talked about great length in Shar Yechud Vamon, which we're coming up to. That the to say that Hashem has created the world, and Hashem is directly involved with the creation at all times. Therefore, there must be Hashgacha Pratis,
right.
Which is very easy just to say. No, there's only mere coincidence. But a person who says there's mere coincidences fits into the category of those people who aren't thinking.
Right.
Because this is control. What Moshe Rabbeinu did for us.
Right.
By instilling this knowledge that there has to be a Hashem with the parameters that we just laid down in brief.
Everything.
So that would extend to our belief that Hashem is involved with every aspect and facet of our life.
Yeah.
That comes from Moshe.
That's
the little Moshe inside of us. The part that's saying, oh, look, Hashgacha Pratis. That's our little Moshe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my wife is fond of saying that it's Hashgacha Pratis when it doesn't work out too. you hear all these stories, there was such and such, and then such and such, and I didn't think it was going to go, and hashkacha pratis, it all worked out fine. So my wife says, well, if you're telling a story, there was this thing that went wrong, and that thing that went wrong, and then finally, in the end, hashkacha pratis, the whole thing fell apart.
Right.
Okay, it's also hashkacha pratis.
Of course it is.
Okay, which is why there's a Mishnah that says yeah. that you should, there's an opinion in a Mishnah that says that when you hear bad news, you should say, Hateva Hameitiv. We talked about this back in chapter, 33.
I heard someone say the other day, someone I highly respect, say, life isn't fair.
Okay.
It's not true.
Was he telling this to somebody or he was just complaining?
It was a statement. It was a statement.
He was Borkitching.
It was a statement.
Yeah.
And he said it several times, and he meant what he said.
Uh-huh.
But on the level of perhaps our perception, that may be. No, it's not true. But
the fact is, it's
absolutely fair, because God,
it's doing it the way it's supposed to be done.
Exactly.
This is the best way it could be.
It's absolutely fair.
My kids used to use that and say that, and I used to say, which no longer works anymore, it's no longer a valid line, I used to answer, the fair is at 8 Mile in Woodward the last week of August. Yes, that's where you have fair.
Yes.
But
yes.
Since they stopped doing that, now I can't even say that either.
Yeah, yeah.
But my kids are all
over
that.
Anyway,
the fair was at 8 Mile in Woodward the last week of August.
Yeah,
yes.
So, yeah, go look at that.
So, so that's the Moshe that's inside every single one of us. Every single one of us.
Yeah.
Has this innate connection, yes. This feeling of being one with Hashem. Mm. That's our Moshe.
Yeah.
And you want to go back to the original statement? Yes, to Moshe Rabbeinu, fear is an easy thing.
Yeah.
What's hard? Keeping that Moshe up front.
Yeah, well, you
without know. Having him get relegated to the back of the bus. Or even not on the bus.
I was going to say, getting him on the bus made it some more. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the task. Getting him on the bus.
V'yanikas mesharish nishmas meisher abein of mesharsha b'dasa elyon shabiyitzirs the silos miyuchedus b'maison barachu. And there is this nurture from the source of the souls of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is rooted in Das Elyon is Hashem's perspective of the creation, which is in the 10 spheres of Atzilus, which are united with their emanator, Shehu v'daito echad v'hu amada kula, that Hashem, his wisdom is one, that he's the knowledge, the knower, and the knower. So where is it that our feeling of connection comes from? It comes from Hashem's feeling of connection, because what are we connecting to? We're connecting to Hashem.
Yeah.
If Hashem had no feeling of connection, we wouldn't be connected to it,
right?
To Hashem. Mm. So Hashem is extending this connection to us,
yes.
And it is up to us to connect to Hashem.
To take advantage of
it. And it is that Moshe Rabbeinu that which is inside each and every single one of us, that makes that connection.
Yes.
Everybody on their own level. Mm. As he said way back in chapter 14, chapter 13. Tomorrow's Chitas. No, yesterday's Chitas. Mm. Yesterday's Tanya Chitas. That there's different levels of truth because everybody on their own level, this is what's unique about Judaism, everybody on their own level relates to God. Since God is infinite and the Torah is infinite, so anywhere you get on, you get off, is absolutely 100% true.
And it's not a question of this one's better, that one's better. There's no quality.
No, absolutely not. If a person's doing 100% on their level, they're doing 100% on their level. That's their level of truth.
Exactly.
Somebody else, that's only be a level of it of 95%. That's not 100% for them. Okay, so that person, if they're working on the same level as this other person who's doing it 100%, and they're only doing it 95%, so it's not true for them.
It's not one to be compared, right?
Correct, absolutely not. Okay, this person gets an A+, and this person gets an F.
No, I don't want to know about that.
It's pass fail, sorry.
Yeah, I don't want to know about that.
Okay, so and it's dependent, everybody, which is this thing, it's a sliding scale. You know, Shem only expects from his creatures what he put into them. Hashem knows what our capabilities are. Oh, Hashem knows what our limits are. And therefore, Hashem's not going to ask us to do more than our limitations can withstand. But at least do what we can do.
What you can,
as you alluded to before with the story of Zusha.
Yeah. No, actually, the story was what you said.
Mm-hmm. Zusha?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I was thinking about the story where he asked Hashem to let him have the fear of the angels for a moment. Yeah. Uh-huh. And
he said, take it away from me?
Yeah. It caused him bodily problems for, 90 days or something like that.
Something like that, yes. Yeah. Right. No, yes. The story I'm referring to.
Fear is such a small thing.
Yes. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, I was talking about the story where he said, when I get to heaven, they're not going to ask me
right,
Zusha. How come you're not like Rabbi Akiva or Moses? Right, they're going to ask me Zusha. How come you weren't like Zusha?
Yeah, I'm worried about I can relate to that story all too well.
The Oiz is Yesodok, okay, and even more than this. Okay. The whole Dor V'Dor, Yardin Nitzitzin Min Hashamas Reish Rabbein, Mislavshas V'Guv V'Nefer Shal Chachmai V'Ador, Eini Ha'ida. In every generation, there is one person who's like the point person, who's called the Moses of the generation.
Yeah.
The Rambam was called that, wasn't he?
Yes. And anybody who had a Rebbe that they considered to be their mentor would have therefore thought also that their Rebbe was the Moshe of their generation.
Of course.
You ask any Lubavitcher alive today who's the Moshe of the generation, they're going to tell you the Rebbe.
Of course I will.
And if you have a Chassid who says, no, my Rebbe's not the Moses of the generation,
then he's not a
you chassid. Could ask the question, well, why are you calling yourself a chassid of his? Okay.
You can't get there from here.
Right. If you don't believe he's the Moses, what are you following him for? You know, you're going to settle on second best? I mean, you know, so
this guy's third string, I bet it's good enough for me.
Yeah, yeah, right. Okay. You wind up a third string Judaism then, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a tier system. Okay, not everybody has the privilege of being connected to Moshe directly. If you recall, in Parshas Yisro, when Moshe complained, I got too much of a backload over here.
Right.
So Hashem said, good, make judges of 10, and judges of 50, and judges of 100, and judges of 1,000.
Sure.
And if you have an easy case, so the judge of 10 will handle it. If it's too hard, it'll be the one of 50. If he can't do it, the one of 100.
Right.
If he can't do it, the one of 1,000. If he can't, he'll come to you.
He'll come talk to you.
Okay, so what does that mean? That means that the connection all comes from Moshe, because how did the judge of 10 know how to answer any question?
From what they learned from Moshe.
From what they learned from Moshe, exactly.
Of course.
So that means then that this person who doesn't know the answer to this question and goes to the judge of 10, and he only gets it from the judge of 10, he doesn't have to go to, he's not going to Moshe. The question is not when Moshe is going to answer.
Right.
So his connection to Moshe is through the judge of 10.
Right.
Which is through the judge of 50, which is through the judge of 100, which is through the judge of 1,000. So that means there's a whole tier system of time is coming to him. Right. But it's still coming from Moshe.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, we would say that that person who asked that question of the judge of 10 is connected to Moshe,
right,
but through intermediaries.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you have people who are connected directly to the Moshe of the generation, nowadays we're talking about.
Sure.
And then you have people who are connected to the people who are connected to the Rebbe, the Moshe of the generation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Hmm.
Okay? And it is a tiered hashpah, as he said back in chapter 2, that the highest comes to the individual through the point people.
Right.
And through the point people, it then spreads out. Okay. Where am I? If it wasn't going to be, it's just a mishum, it's a mishum, it's a mishum, it's a mishum, it's a mishum. Shalchach me yodor, anyway, though. Loma dasa sa'am, liyeda gedolus Hashem, that the job, the function of these individual Moshes of each generation, and the subset Moshes in each generation, what's their job? Is to teach knowledge to the nation that they should know of the greatness of Hashem. Now, what's the purpose in knowing? Theoretical Judaism is, I would say,
based on what the Alter Rebbe says, worthless.
Exactly.
What does the Alter Rebbe say? Quoting a Gemara, one of my favorite all-time lines. I think we used it. I think I've quoted it here already. I only know so much stuff already. You know, so that a person who learns with no intention of putting it to practical application, mm-hmm. it would have been better had their afterbirth covered over their face. Okay, you've heard me say this line before? Yeah, it's pretty graphic.
Yes.
It's pretty disgusting, too. Definitely. But you get the idea.
Yeah.
Not only is it that they shouldn't be born, but they should not be born in such a way like this.
Yeah.
Let them be born, but let him kill himself, right. rather than studying just for studying. That's why he says the next line, okay, this is something, Liyeh the godless Hashem. I know Hashem. Mm-hmm. So what? But he says, no, La'avda b'lev nefesh. You have to serve Hashem. How much so? With your full heart and soul. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to put it into practical application.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what kind of knowledge is it?
Yes,
right. There's a long way between understanding and knowing. Understanding is where the theory goes, and you have to do it. If you don't understand the theory behind it, you're not going to be able to do it properly.
You can sit and study a recipe of chocolate chip cookies all day.
And you'd be the expert to it. You could study all kinds of variations.
And if you've never eaten one.
If you never made one.
Never made one.
You know, but you could be the world's expert on chocolate chip cookie recipes.
Yeah, that's fine.
You certainly could.
Yeah. Have you ever eaten one? Nope. Oops.
So that's what we have to do. You have to get in, you have to roll up your sleeves, and you have to do it.
That's it.
How much? Just 100%.
Only 100%. That's it.
Ki aveda shebelev hu lefi hadas. Because he says, for example, when he talks about aveda, which is usually referred to, aveda shebelev is usually referred to as davening.
Yeah.
So davening is no small thing.
Boy, you got that right.
Davening, the altar, we see the stories of the Hasidim HaRishonim, they spent so much time in davening and being lost in davening, and with the earlier Rebbeim, the Rebbe Rashab would take 3 or 4 hours to daven Birchas Kriyashma. Mm. You know, so what were these guys doing? They were doing what they were doing. But they were doing it. So the... it's called Aveda. Aveda means work. And if you're working, we would like to see accomplishments. And what happened to the davening shouldn't have been that you accomplished is that you're done davening. What did you accomplish? What did I accomplish today by davening? I finished.
Oh, good, yeah.
Okay?
I'm ready to go now.
It's like when I ask the kid, what good thing happened to you today? And they say, school ended today.
Yeah.
No, that one doesn't fly in this house. Sorry. Okay? Oops. The davening itself has to affect the person. The Baal Shem Tov says the greatest tool that we have in self-improvement is davening.
Wow.
And a person should focus on one character trait during davening for a month to try and improve that one character trait. Hmm. And it's the davening that will change it.
Hmm.
We're not talking about therapy and these things. I mean, you know, so and do it yourself. You know, because the word tefillah comes from the word to connect or to give importance to.
Mm.
In Parshas Vayechi. There's a verse over there that Yaakov says to Yosef, I never expected to see your face, and here it is, I'm also seeing your children.
Yeah.
Last week's portion. The word I never expected is lo filalti. The same word like tefillah, filalti.
Mm-hmm.
Expect, consider, give importance to. That's what davening is. With anything, we can see for sure, Judaism is input-output.
Input-output.
What you put into it is what you're going to get out of it, and davening is for sure. Because a person's going to wake up and say, I'm doing the same davening I did yesterday. No, what did you wake up for? You did that yesterday. Today's a new day. You're a new creature. At least make some effort. Now there's always the problem, but I got to be at work at 9 o'clock. How am I supposed to daven for 4 hours like you want me to? I can't put my tefillin on until 7 o'clock. I got to be at work at 9. That's only 2. Then I got to travel to it, so let's knock it back a little bit. And please, if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind eating something before I go to work. Okay, so that knocks me down to like 8:15 or 8 o'clock. So a person who davens from 7, a person who davens 7 to 8 o'clock, if he's davening Hayda to Aleinu for an hour, is considered a hoo-ha. This guy is davening like like a chassid.
Okay.
So this is, this guy can pat himself on the back. He's doing such a great job. Yeah. Which, by the way, if a person pats themselves on the back and says, "I did a great job davening today,"
they probably
did not do a great job of davening that day.
They probably didn't. Yeah.
So the gist of the davening is that it has the ability of making the connection felt. Mm. As you said back in chapter 12. Mm-hmm. Person's in the middle of the day and he's suddenly hit, bombarded with all types of machshava zoras and all kinds of taivas for all kinds of things that he shouldn't have taivas for. What should he do? Think about his davening in the morning. He doesn't have to daven again. He did that already. All he has to do is think about the davening that he davened this morning. Mm-hmm. And that'll reestablish a connection. And that's called avoda. Mm. That's called work. Because it's Yigaitu Matsasi Tami. He's going to say this later on. I can only believe that you did it if you put effort into it. Person says, man, I was into that davening thing over there. I just sat down. I opened up the book. I got into it. And you got out of it too. Hmm. Okay? It's not real. It says the ultimate comes with a reward that's going to be in the future. That it says that people won't have to teach other people anymore. I'm looking quite forward to this, that when Mashiach comes, I get a fig tree. I get to sit underneath my fig tree somewhere in what is today considered East Jerusalem. I got my eye on a nice villa over there. And I'm going to put a fig tree on the front lawn. I'm going to sit underneath it and to fulfill the adage, Ish tachas gafno, Ish tachas te'enai, each man under his fig tree, each man under his grapevine. I don't like grapes, so I'm going to go for figs. And I'm just going to watch the Beis HaMikdash a whole day. That's what I'm looking forward to. And that was going to be bothering me because what do? I teach. And since they're not going to need me to teach anymore, no. Some people think I'm in for a big surprise, but anyway, we'll see. Because it says, everyone will know me. And they won't know me through me, meaning with a capital M. Hmm. They won't know me through an intermediary.
Right.
You're not going to have to be taught about Hashem. You're going to experience it.
Yeah.
Ach ikar hadas... Ain hayadiyah levada sheyede gedol as Hashem apiece svarim. Knowledge doesn't mean just knowing. It's not lip service. That he knows about the greatness of Hashem. He knows what it says in the books. Apiece svarim, or from things that people said to him, he can parrot it back. Mm-hmm. Okay, because that's easy. Mm-hmm. Das doesn't mean to memorize.
Yeah, no.
Okay, you sit down, a person memorizes the whole entire Tanya, says it every single day. Okay, this is a wonderful thing. Halavai of Mirgizuk, I wish I could do it. Mm. But that's not called knowledge. That's called memorizing. That's a different part of your brain. Mm. Knowledge is do you feel connected to it?
Mm. Is it alive in you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The difference would be like, for example, another example of this type of thing is, remember when you were in third grade, you memorized those multiplication tables and didn't have a clue exactly what it was.
Yeah, hated it.
You know, and you just knew, and you just had to get into your head, yes, that 7 times 8 was 56.
Yeah.
Okay, how many times do you have to go over that one? 7 times 8 is 56. 7 times 8 is 56. 7 times 8 is 56. Okay. Without putting a connection to it, that you're talking about something substantial and not just a number.
Right.
So it's the same thing also. Mm-hmm. You're sitting, you're learning, you're davening, and you know it really well. You can even say it back.
Mm.
Okay, it's like you're counting numbers.
Mm.
The same thing. The expression in the Gemara is Tzipa Hamedaberes. You're just parroting.
Mm.
No, the parrot hasn't got a clue what he's saying, but he's saying.
Right.
Okay, it's all the person has to put themselves into it. La'amegdaite b'gedoyel Hashem, he says, to really focus and concentrate in the greatness of Hashem. Ulatzikaya machshavta b'Hashem b'chayzik v'aymet halev, and to fix his thoughts with great strength and courage of the heart and the brain, until his soul is connected, his thought is connected to Hashem, b'kesher amitz v'chazik, with a great and awesome bond. Person does that, guess what? For them, it'll be easy to fear Hashem. And that's all you got to do.
That's it. That's all you got to do.
That's a Moshe Rabbeinu. Just bring the Moshe Rabbeinu out, that the person feels the connection that he's connected to Hashem at all times. Yeah. If you can do that, the rest just falls right in place. It's easy. The same way a person is connected to a physical thing. We gave the example last week of the cell phone. Sharoya be'enei basar. Were you here last week? You weren't here last week. Okay. And we gave the example of what thing are people the most connected to? It used to be people would say their wives. But no, because there's times we wish your wife would just leave you alone. Okay? What is it that people can't walk out of the house without? Their cell phones. And if they do walk out without their cell phones, they feel out of balance. Yeah. That's called das. You are connected to your cell phone. So the Alter Rebbe is saying over here, you should feel the same connection to Hashem as you do to your cell phone.
Mm.
Speaking of which, yes.
Speaking of other connection.
Yes. We gotta look for a place to stop anyway at this point.
That's cool.
Because you're almost a chazik. As we said back way in chapter 3, that the word knowledge means to connect, like in the expression, Adam knew Eve, and they had Cain and Abel. Every single Jew, regardless of whom, has this ability to bind their knowledge to Hashem with a full heart and soul, because of the nurture that it receives from the soul of Moshe. But if it wants to be able to do something with it, okay. So let's say you're born with this connection to Hashem.
Hmm.
It doesn't help. You have to bring it out to the surface. And what he's going to say now at this point is we're going to stop, is there is two methods of bringing Das to the forefront. Stay tuned for next week. We get up to Ha'achas, which is the first word on the line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 lines from the top of the page, 219, 220, to be continued.
Yeah.